Hello, this is Bruce Johansson, Professor of Biblical Studies in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. And I am your host again for this session of Good Word, where we study the Johannine letters. And joining me today are Dr. Dave Thomas, Chairman of the School of Theology, Professor in Systematic Theology, and a pastor of long experience, together with Dr. Pedrito Maynard Reed, Professor of Biblical Studies and Specialist in Missiology, author of books, and also Assistant to the President for Diversity on our campus. Gentlemen, it's nice to welcome you here.
Thank you, Bruce.
Good to be here. And,
I'm sure we will enjoy our conversation together. The passage that we are looking at in this discussion deals with the schismatics. That's not a word we use a lot, but I thought it was a good one for this. People who have broken fellowship, who have walked away.
Or who are trying to divide the community.
Or who are trying to divide, exactly. Mm-hmm. John says they've left us. They've gone out from us.
They're kind of offshoots.
Yeah.
But they're still having some influence in the community, you know.
Yes.
And there's so many times that the folks like these, they've left the community, but they hang out.
On the fringes.
On the fringes, you know. They don't go and start their own thing. They come...
Not unless they've got a good following, because then it wouldn't be fun.
That's exactly right. So you see them...
The community gives them a power base.
That's right.
It's amazing the power games that people play with all kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think some of the worst kinds of power games people play is with spiritual things, where you have... You know,
spiritual things are understood to have ultimate significance.
Yes.
So if you
want to
play power game, that's the place to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're dealing with 1 John 2:18-27. I'm just going to lay out the passage a little bit, and then we will discuss it. In verse 18, he says, "There are many. It's the last hour. You've heard many antichrists. Antichrist is coming. Many antichrists have come." And then he goes on to say, "They went out from us. They were not of us. In other words, they didn't belong." If they had been, they wouldn't have gone out from us. That's an interesting... They would not have broken fellowship. They would not have gone out if they had been truly of us. But they went out because they weren't. And then he goes on to say, "You have the anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you all know..." Or you could also have a variant reading in the Greek, "You know all things."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's an interesting passage. You can go either way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
"You all know," or "you know all things." He's telling the people who are remaining that they have the adequate knowledge. They don't need to be...
In other words, they can make the decisions and the judgment.
That's right. And we were talking in the last lesson that probably these people who are left were maybe not as sophisticated as the ones who have left. They're maybe feeling foolish, maybe feeling unsure about what they've put their faith in. And so he's done a lot of groundwork, giving them encouragement.
Because as we said, in case someone missed some of these earlier ones, discussions, these Gnostics felt that the way to gain salvation is to have this special knowledge.
This enlightenment.
Is where you get Gnostic from, the Greek word to know. So they at least get an enlightened knowledge. And usually the pride of life too, many times, and also they become so proud of this particular knowledge, which leaves behind these others who haven't gotten.
It's the old ladder game, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And what do we make with the little phrase antichrist?
It's plural here, Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally we tend to look at it as singular, and then we have somebody clearly in mind, or some office clearly in mind, many Protestants do, and here it is plural.
Yeah. Now, what is anti in Greek, really? Isn't it opposition to
against?
So an antichrist is someone who goes against the word that we have heard and you have known.
Yes.
Go back to the beginning of the book.
Yes.
So it's kind of heretics.
Of whom the devil himself would be the chief example.
Exactly.
The chief example.
And then this suggests that he might have agents that work in his behalf.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So we need to look at ourselves many times. Am I an antichrist? And we sometimes think, oh, no, I'm not 666.
Yes.
But if we are fighting opposition, knowing opposition to the truth that had been told here, then we become antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That becomes serious.
All the way along here, up until this passage, he has been showing that what you believe and how you live are connected. So what you believe is really important. And he fills Antichrist with meaning, with his special meaning in verse 22. He who is the liar, who is the liar, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ.
Yeah.
So they don't want somehow Jesus in the picture. And I have a feeling either this is Gnostic, they don't want the humanity, they don't want the touchable Jesus, the seeable, and all that. What they want is this revealer, heavenly figure. So they don't want Jesus with Christ. However, I want to throw a little curve in here. You had Judaizers. When we listened to Ignatius' letters, you had both Gnosticizers and Judaizers who were causing trouble to the church. Somebody of a Judaizing bent might also not like Jesus to be Christ.
Well,
it's possible.
It's possible. And they could be some Jewish background in them. But I suspect that the Gnostics were what we call syncretistic Gnostics at this time. They drew from various religions, Greco-Roman philosophies and religions and philosophy, and Jewish philosophy, and some of Jewish and Christian. And they had this all mixed together. Yes. Colossians is a classic case of this heresy, kind of incipient Gnosticism.
Colossians 2.
So I wouldn't doubt that they would bring some sort of Judaism in here that could deny. Have a denial of Christ. And yet still accepting Christ, but not
the humanity.
Jewish Christ.
And that fits with chapter 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one who denies that Jesus,
that's exactly right.
Christ, Jesus Christ came in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then, how are they going to deal with this? What is his solution to dealing with those who deny the Son? He claims those who deny the Son do not have the Father. Those who confess the Son have the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. And then he comes to this anointing.
And here he ties the Father and the Son again, tightly as he was doing earlier.
Exactly. So there's something about Jesus in relationship to God that has an impact on how you live.
And that's what he suggests, is that by looking at the way a person lives, you can determine what their belief is. Is that what you're suggesting?
He brings that argument over and over. He's already brought it up. He who hates his brother, how can he love God?
Yeah. You see, the reason I ask that question is that sometimes there are people who almost make this phrase into a litmus test. Like, do you believe that Jesus is God?
Yeah. Yes.
And, of course, you can answer that question in the affirmative and not have it mean a whole lot to you.
Yes.
In terms of the way you live.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess I'm driving more, what is at the heart of that? Not just the words. I don't think this is some kind of test you can say to somebody. I think it. I agree with you that it's looking at seeing if that belief has affected any adjustment to the way you live.
We discussed this in the prologue. The what about Jesus and his earthly existence, the incarnation, if you please, leads to fellowship. And if it doesn't lead to fellowship, something may be wrong.
Hmm. You see, here these folks have broken away.
Mm-hmm.
They have become antichrist. They don't believe that they need to fellowship. And this is why I say that God doesn't call his church to have a schism where I break away and you must come and join me. He says, come together in fellowship. If your life, the way you behave is schismatic, there is something wrong with your theology. And he says, let's come together, because you know what? All have sinned. We all are sinners. Yeah. You know, you out there are not perfect. You're a sinner like me. Let's come together, because Christ's blood has atoned for all of us.
Yeah, and the believing community is not the enemy.
No.
That's right.
No.
The schismatics tend to see it that way.
You see, as I developed and grew up in the church, I tended to think of incarnation as kind of a formula, a mysterious belief. I never realized that actually it had within it one of the most profound visions of what God is like.
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament, you had the whole temple set up so that God could be with his people. The word with is you can't take that out of incarnation.
Yeah.
We mystify the whole thing by thinking in metaphysical terms, but actually this is very much in functional relational terms.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being with us,
that's right,
and about our being with one another.
And even when we look at
atonement,
yeah.
you atonement is about being with. It's taking the obstacles away that have gotten in the way of being with.
And even when we read Paul, that seems, you recognize justification in Paul, it's relational, because he speaks out of a Hebrew. When you're justified, what you've done is come in relationship.
Yes.
The whole plan of salvation is a plan of relationship.
Yes.
Bringing God, come bringing us, there is a relationship broken because of sin, mm-hmm, and Jesus comes down to mend that relationship. And he says now that the relationship is come back together, we also have to be in relationship with each other. And all of this is talking about a broken relationship between Christ and people, and between people and people within the church. Yes. And you become an antichrist,
yes,
when that relationship is broken. Because you're going against God's incarnational relationship.
One thing the author does, and Pedrito and I have talked about this before, Dave, and that is this author doesn't quote a single text from the Old Testament. Not a single.
That's unusual.
It is unusual. And we thought that it says something about the audience, that maybe they were not well-versed in Scripture.
Mm.
His argument here is that they have the anointing. And because they have the anointing, they know all things, or they all know. They all have sufficient knowledge about this.
So you don't need Scripture then, as long as you have the anointing? I know there are lots of people who just preach, you know, the Spirit came upon me and told me to say this, and they shut their Bibles and they move on.
Yeah.
Do you then know, if you have the anointing, you don't need the Word?
Yeah, we wouldn't need the school of theology either, would we?
I know a lot of people don't feel they need a school of theology. They just can get the anointing. What do you do with that, Dave?
Well, I'm thinking of this in slightly different terms. Mm. That it does seem to me that when a person becomes a believer, that there is a certain level of discernment or understanding that develops in them, where they can smell smoke before they see a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's what he's talking about. I don't think he's suggesting that the Scriptures are irrelevant. But I think he's saying that there is, in the believing community, this, and I've seen it work many times, there's a collective wisdom that can emerge if you nurture it, and if you sit around the table and talk about it, that there is kind of a sense that, needs to change.
You know, in connection with what you're saying, the Holy Spirit is closely associated with love in the rest of the New Testament, and also here. Gentlemen, we have started a good conversation. It's time to end. I thank you for your insights, and I thank Michael White, program engineer, for Good Word. This is Bruce Jones. For more information about Good Word, you can visit the Positive Life Radio website at PLR.org. Look under Programs for Good Word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.